Come on in, take a seat. If you haven't signed in, please do so. If you haven't grabbed a snack or a water or a cup of coffee, please do so. They gave us a pretty good spread.
Good job, Kat.
Thanks. It's nice to see all of you. Thanks for being here. Oh man, I'm gonna start crying already. Bittersweet day for me. Let's start how we normally start with our regular routine, which is approving the agenda for today. Scroll down a little bit. Are there any amendments to the agenda that we have in front of us? Larissa? While I let our senators think about whether they want to amend the agenda, I'll remind us today's a bit of a weird day. It's the last meeting of this Senate, and then immediately after we'll have the first meeting of next year's Senate. That's a limited meeting. Limited means that you have to say what business you're going to talk about ahead of time, and you can only talk about that. So if you want to do any other business this semester, now is the time. I see Larissa is going to take the opportunity to see if we can amend our agenda. No good.
You're good.
Thank you, Larissa. Again, so to clarify, we're not voting on the motions right now. We're just voting on whether to consider them later. We'll take them one at a time. Is there, and I'll ask for you, is there any objection to considering the UFS endorsement later on today? Seeing none, we'll add that under new business, item one. Excuse me. Oh yeah, forgot my Harvard style. And the second question was whether the body would be willing to consider a motion of regarding mutual defense that was also distributed. We can give copies. Are there any objections to considering that later? Seeing none, we'll put that under new business item B.
Any other amendments?
Are there any other amendments from the body? Last chance. We have well quorum easy. We can get all kinds of stuff through today. I'm going to go off script and take the liberty of asking you to consider another secret motion that I want us to consider under new business item C. And I ask for unanimous consent. I hope you will. Many of you will have seen this, that you'll be willing to let me present this later. Is there any objection to what I'll term a secret motion? Joe Lochran here, you might object. Okay, that's a joke. Seeing none, we have a third item, C, file under secret. Okay, seeing no one else moving through the mic, we'll move on.
Agenda as amended is approved.
Thank you. So we've amended the agenda to add these three items. Can we approve the agenda as amended? I'll move that we do so. Are there any objections? Okay, seeing none, we've got some business to do. Item two, approval of the Academic Senate meeting minutes from last time, April 10th, 2025. Give you a moment to consider those. Are there any objections to approving these? Changes, mistakes, any some such? Okay, seeing none, we'll consider those approved. And then we move to item three, announcements, administrative reports, and memorials. And you'll see we have a guest speaker scheduled for today. So if you do have an announcement or administrative report, I'll ask you to do that after we invite Troy Hahn, our Chief Information Officer, to to address us. The a little bit of background, and you would have seen this in, or not background, framing, you would have seen this in the email that Kat sent, is that the Senate requested a report from Troy's office regarding websites and things like that, and we received that last meeting. I distributed that. There's also a report distributed from the library also addressing some of the same concerns. We had discussed, Troy and I, the utility of doing a kind of presentation on things, and it was felt, that's passive voice, you're not supposed to do that as an English professor. I felt, and he agreed, or he felt and I agreed, that we might not need another 15 minute presentation, because a lot of you have seen this already. So I expect Troy to be willing to do more of a Q&A kind of session. And so if you do have basic questions about what happened, or if you're confused about what I'm talking about, you can start with that. Otherwise, I have a framing question that I'll present, but let's invite Troy here. And did he send you anything? You don't need any projection or anything. Projection or anything? Okay, yeah, come on up. So I'm going to turn, I know it's a little formal and weird, I'm going to turn the microphone over to you. I will say, I think the first question I might have that I think is in a lot of people's minds is just if you could address the two reports and the discrepancies between them and what you, you know, how you might make sense of some of that. Thank you.
Sure. Thank you all for having me to come and do a Q&A for everyone for the report that was distributed. Am I talking loud enough for everyone? Okay. As the Senate requested, I produced a report on the website outage, what occurred, a portion of the timeline. I do want to openly acknowledge the help that the Barry Combiner Center of Computer Science and their active help and collaboration in mitigating multiple problems that we had going across, you know, their web servers and the website, you know, on their end. That was a great portion of the interaction. I really believed it was really wonderful. I wanted to make sure that that was also stated here today, so everyone, you know, is here. That is, that was a great experience walking through. On the report that was provided, I have no, from my point of view, I have no corrections that I need to make on it. For that was submitted to the Faculty Senate on this, is well as I see it as it's okay for how the library provided their report in contradiction as well. And I openly do stand by the report that was provided, you know, from myself and my office wholeheartedly on that. And that's my what I have for that response there. And if anyone has anything else for question-wise, I will happily answer those. When Kevin and I were discussing how to handle this meeting with the amount of time we had, I really prefer this as a Q&A, do the best that we can to answer what we have on deck that y'all might have questions or concerns about, and I'll do my best to answer them. Thank you for this question. This is actually something we get a lot on. Yes, security is a huge challenge and concern, you know, across CUNY. I'm going to use the word assume and believe that everybody, at least here, understands the threats that went across CUNY, you know, over the last 3 years. They have been wide and they have been very significant that have gone on. A lot of those challenges, you don't want to get out. You don't want to give the details of it. You're probably trying to say, like, why do we want to not want to tell you? Well, the reason is I have a really challenging job. The other CIOs at the other campuses have an extremely challenging job. Our job is to take care of all of your data. We're not talking about just social security numbers, your bank account, your birth certificates, all that. That lives here. Our job is to manage and take care of it. That is a challenge. I know it's painful from the multi-factor authentication stuff. I still get complaints about that, and it's okay. I'm perfectly content with y'all being upset about it, but it's important to do it. I get annoyed enough about the MFA myself as I complained to Evelyn about this the other day. I'm trying to log in. It happened three different times. I'm just as frustrated with it on that end. Now, from the CUNY overall standpoint, due to the quantity of breaches that have gone on, once this occurs, the threat actors that start coming in, they know we're vulnerable. That's not just a Queens College challenge. That's a CUNY-wide problem. Is once they find one area and they found a way in, they're going to keep coming back and coming back and coming back. That is the biggest problem that we're having, and it's not just a Queens College issue. Thank God, knock on wood, pray to the machine gods, whatever we need to do. That is something that's not happened at Queens College. This is a piece that I'm thoroughly paranoid about. At one point, about 18, 19 months ago, we got an alert that appeared there might have been an issue at the QC Hub. My immediate reaction to the team was shut everything down in the QC Hub. Immediately made a phone call over to Jennifer Jarvis. Says, this is what we did. I apologize. I don't know what's going on. Your whole entire area is blacked out. Please transition your team to work from home or an alternate location. I prefer to be thoroughly paranoid on that part. Now, some things that did occur that was strange this last couple of years is that CUNY Central's had enough problems that have gone on is we don't get our internet through Queens College. The internet process that we get goes through the central office. So things that I can control are actually quite limited at the end of the day. So if the firewalls that we have are managed by the central team, if they happen to see anything, the new rules that they've put into place due to all the breaches that have occurred is that they will immediately block. This is not just a central office piece. This is a directive from the Board of Trustees. Is that we block it, we deal with it, we clean up the mess and see what's actually happening. That is an okay approach. Is it ideal? No, it's not. With it. And I understand that frustration. At one point when I was in the classroom also teaching, I saw that challenge and it was a very frustrating problem. With it is this was not at CUNY, this is at another university, is things just got randomly blocked and like, okay, why did this occur? The President Wu and I have actually fought vehemently with giving us better lead time so we can get communication out. The college itself was worried just as I was. Y'all found out the same time I did. Is my team turns out, hey Troy, we just got blocked. Like, what happened? So I called President Wu. I said, this is what's going on. I need your help. We need to make some phone calls. This is what I've already done. So I do agree with the central approach is block it, cut it off. Let us triage and walk through the situation. I do acknowledge it's not ideal, but we have been moving as a CUNY, as a system, has been moving into more of a cloud-based system. The bonus with that, we as a university, not just Queens College, we can't afford cybersecurity people. I'd be totally blown. It's just, they're very, very expensive. You're looking at a real cybersecurity person that has years of experience. They start at $250,000 a year. That's at the low end. CUNY can't afford that across all the campuses. Even the central office can't. They understand block first, triage next, see what it is. If it's okay, turn things back on. I prefer that approach since we can't be here 24/7, and the actors do know this. It's not a fun environment, I do know that. There is that bonus with now the LMS going out. It's in Brightspace. Brightspace is hosted in the cloud. It is not on CUNY premises. I've also acknowledged and have not just told my team, directed, we will be moving the entirety of the Queens College website, the library piece, every component that everyone here uses into the cloud for business continuity and redundancy. I have acknowledged we've had business problems from older equipment, and thanks to the President Wu, we've been able to acquire different equipment to do this and have this transition period to move things over into the cloud to have a better environment to protect everybody. I hope that answers that, but there are other questions. I'll happily answer them with whatever y'all would like. I need.
Yes. Just if you have a question, comment, just go to the mic and introduce yourself.
Yes, my name is Brent Scott. I'm from the University. I heard that you can't access the library website, or like the Queen's College website from outside, and you have to use like a VPN at the school. So like that you're like,
For the VPN?
Yeah.
The library site is back up and running. It's not 100% perfect yet. I could be corrected. Mine is that we're getting very close, you know, to having it back into a better state. You don't need the VPN anymore to do that. At one point, yes, when it was blocked at the firewall, it was no outside access. So what that means is once you log in with a VPN using your CUNY ID, the at login account, it believes you're now on campus. That's what that blocking is. It means you cannot get to it off campus with that. So that was the reasoning why that was done that way, but it's no longer needed.
Sorry, you ran my information. The student is asking a question. What is the name of the VPN that we use in college?
The VPN name that we're using right now is called Global Protect.
Yeah,
sorry, I didn't hear that part.
Correct. Exposes traffic to a third party vendor.
The VPN does not. The VPN is hosted locally on campus.
Global Protect?
Yes, the Global Protect is a local firewall product that we use. With it, yes, you do want that managed locally, especially with HR, PR assist products. Is that y'all's timesheets? There's HR records behind it, so we want to protect that as much as possible.
Hi there. I think that on my end, what I'm trying to really grasp is to understand the process. And I think that all of us are in the same kind of position because we don't really understand what to prioritize. And then we get all bent out of shape because it looks to us like we're doing nothing while our glasses are sinking to the ground while we're like sinking the universe in the background, right? That's what the last statement kind of sounded like. So my question to you is, do you think that us, the faculty, and you guys can collaborate to meet some sort of a body, a contact person, or somebody who would just update us on important events, bullet points, not the details. You know, none of us want to know really what you do with the firewall. You know, we're not paid enough to do that, but we really want to know if you tell us, listen, there's been an event. We need to shut everything down because otherwise your social security card is going to be a Roosevelt Avenue. And you have to be patient for the next so many days and then we will do X. I think communication is what is historically missing in this relationship. On that level, is that I've noticed that it's been the firewall that is whatever we call a spam filter for our emails has been extensively changed since January. And none of us got any communication on that.
Yes.
So for example now, all of my pre-med students who need letters of recommendation, their requests are not getting into my inbox, whereas clean supplies is. So who controls that portion, and is there any sort of user measure that we can implement? Meaning, if you start a process, whatever it is that you're doing, you get feedback from 20 of us randomly. And say, is this working, is that working, how's that working, how's this working for you? And then maybe we can have a feedback loop of improvement. Do you think that's a possibility?
Yes, ma'am. We do try to do the feedback loops. Sometimes it doesn't work as well as we want, especially around the security components. Is we're not just us locally. It is a CUNY-wide. We're building the process as we're going. This is not just a, we just want it to be a Queens College process, right? Is we want this to be a CUNY-wide process, so every college in the system has the exact same one. So it's replicable. So this has been something that has been going on, and we've been going back and forth as the Council of CIOs since the original Hunter incident that occurred with us about 2 years ago. Queens College has had a lot of input specifically on that one. This is something we really haven't advertised much. The reason we've had that, a lot of influence on the process is because we were requested and helped out the ransomware issue that did occur at Hunter. Our team was specifically requested to do that. So I put a lot of emphasis on that process and an understanding. Yes, we could do better with the communication. That one I have continuously acknowledged with PMB and President's Council. It was Murphy's Law that started occurring from, I call, from November up until today. Is if it could go wrong, it went wrong. Is we specifically worked through the President's office, worked with the Office of Communications, and we found out what occurred is due to some of these weird outlier situations. When we sent the email out alerting the campus, like, this is what occurred, this is what's happening, we're going to be down for 3 or 4 days while we're trying to figure out the extent of the issue, those processes and policies that were automated were blocking constant contact and blocking this. And as soon as one of the deans mentioned that, they said, Troy, it's down, there's no communication. It's like, what are you talking about? We just did this through CIMA. We've worked very diligently. We've got the communications out. It's like, I don't have it. And so I sat back down with my team and said, we need to figure out what's happening. At that point, I contacted both the PMB chairs. I said, did y'all get it? We didn't. Great. Then at that next stage, I made a phone call over to Patricia, our provost. It says, can I get a copy of all the PMB chairs? I need to get this out there. So we started that communication as soon as we found out. Yes, there's a circumstance of Murphy's Law hitting us, and it wasn't. That new system is called Proofpoint. The challenge with it is, yes, it's flagging all types of things, and it's getting tighter and tighter on its refinement. You're not the first person to tell me that where it's flagging legitimate emails that are now getting blocked. This is something that Queens College does not manage. It is a centralized product that's being done CUNY-wide. Several of my counterparts, including myself, from Hunter, Baruch, Brooklyn College, and Lehman, we have been very vocal on this, on how to get this improvement from that one stage from January. I do want to believe it's getting better, but it's not there yet. I would still, my professional opinion, the Proofpoint system that's managing the emails is between 40 and 60% accurate. It's one of those systems that has to learn. This is part where I believe we can do a better job of communicating that out to y'all and saying, if you go in when you get the Proofpoint email, you put in, it says, decline, yes, this is accurate, it will learn. That's a piece that we were not expecting with that particular product. Correct. Yeah.
I know you're in charge of that, but I think that the whole customer support needs to be reworked from the ground up. Hmm? The faculty, at least, we need telephone access to people who can help us sort of phone. That's bottom line. Or some chat function or something. But, for example, I'm going to ask you a point, like, here is my computer charger. I went to ask for one 2.5 years ago.
The advice that I got was to charge it with my home charger, and the IT guy said,
oh, that's
a beast. Those are disturbing to hear, and it was a disappointing. When that does come up, and those particular situations come, this is where I've told people, email directly myself or Evelyn. We will figure that out as quickly as possible. And then we'll figure out where this breakdown did occur. And we do try to get that repaired as quickly as possible. Now, on that, I do understand there's phone problem delays and those issues. It does come down to staffing levels. We don't have it. We've had a serious attrition going on from retirements down to people just leaving. So it's made the help desk team extremely thin. We have to make decisions. Do we answer the phone or I do move this individual to go deal with a classroom problem? At that point, the decision is the phone can wait, go help out in the classroom. There is hope on the horizon with this. With the help of President Wu, we're acquiring numerous new staff members to start augmenting out. It's in the range of 10 to 18 people. We are acquiring within this next fiscal year, the 2025-26 year. We're actively working through this. I have my HR director, Lou Silva, scrambling as fast as possible, and I know I'm driving her and HR crazy to get the search committees established and moving. I do anticipate that this will have a better impact. I will not promise it'll be better by the fall. Even trying to get these new team members established and into place, it will get better, but I don't want to say, yes, we're going to be 100% better. I would say we'll be incrementally better at that point. But
it seems like your hands are tied for multiple different ways, and then the bottom line is you don't have enough staff to help us out. So here's one idea. We have a phenomenal computer science department over here. Why can't we give students credits for training you on IT security and other in summer, in winter? Just give them class credits and working with your team. Train them.
We actually hired them. I will not hire the students to go in cybersecurity for the obvious reason. It's not that I don't trust them. I have to be responsible for that, and if something goes wrong, that would be negligence on my side. We do have them work. They helped us. They are augmented. We have several students from computer science, English, that across the college that we do employ.
As a professor, you guys tell me if I'm wrong or not, I believe that our students are going to do a better job for an A than for $25 an hour.
Correct. We are working on this. I've been working through Zavi Gun Shop to teach a internship program that will help and make this work. So I do agree with that. That is a program I have taught in the past, and it's very, very important. Why? They get real-life credit. They get an internship program, you know, along with it. And typically, when they're done with those, say, a 3 or 6 credit hour year-long program, then, you know, if I'm assuming as faculty in ECL, you've heard of the co-op system program, that's something I would like to establish going through this, where they get, you know, one semester they're working in this capacity, the next semester it's a credit program. That is something that has been delayed, mainly it was due to the pandemic and not having enough leaders in IT to handle that much. The ultimate goal is to have this course established, the curriculum's already created, the syllabus is done, if no more than 10 students. Is as long as you're mentoring and coaching and holding a course like that, it takes time away from others until we can finish getting it established. But yes, that is something that is being done.
Thank you. Give you time for one or two more questions. Careful, you've got trouble this entire semester in the classrooms and also in the laboratories and departments. Logging in, and so I've been in the emergency right now, and with the computer, we're just spending over 10 minutes, which gets into the computer. We have about 5 minutes to change classes, and actually yesterday it happened. This room is a little bit better now. Can that be fixed? Because
That is a severely known problem, and it's been a pet peeve since I arrived at Queens College. The projectors, the computers are ancient. We have slowly been working through this. Thank you. Thanks to the IT Special Projects team, we've been able to replace approximately 90 projectors and 80 computers during spring break while y'all weren't here. Most of those were, there was an email that did go out to the college community that did address this, all the locations. I heard everyone loud and clear how bad Queens Hall is, and it was been replaced. There are more things coming with it as the budget allows this upcoming year. We'll continuously do the computer replacements, and we do, this is where a cybersecurity piece does come in to help us. So right now, Windows 10 is outdated. It goes end of life in October. What does that mean? Most of these computers can't run Windows 11. What does that mean? We have a compliance problem. We have a cybersecurity risk that we have no choice but to replace all the computers. So there's also a benefit to this. You're welcome.
Eric Rosano, just one quick question. Is there anything we can do to help you so we make this better for all of us?
Thank you for that.
The best answer to that is have patience with the help desk. The team members there, If y'all get frustrated or mad, call and yell at me. Please don't yell at my team. You know, it's not their fault. They're doing everything they can, the best that they can. So this is like, I'm okay. If you guys get upset, come to me. I will happily listen. I will do the best that I can to respond and understand the venting and explain the best that I can. That is the number one thing I can say if you really want to help. Now, and as well as the second one, I know every one of y'all hate it because we get a ton of email. I personally very rarely will send the emails out from my email address. So when you see those that come out and they say from Troy Hahn, please read those. And I specifically do that for a reason. So is it the general emails? You know, I get it. I'm just as guilty. I'm not going to read them all. I'll skim as But if you do see those specifically from my email address, please check those. They're going to be important.
Hi. Ed Thawadis from the History Department. Just a very simple question. Why are we having a problem with recruitment and retention in help desk? Is it that we don't offer competitive salaries? And if that's the case, are there other mechanisms that we can use to recruit?
The recruitment in IT is actually difficult, especially within CUNY. The salary scales for IT are extremely low compared to other universities as well as within the private sector. So this becomes an interesting challenge for us. I personally have put a philosophy in IT, everyone gets cross-trained. With it, I have broken down the individual team silos that are within IT. So if I have, say, Jane or John Doe become very talented in X skill set, if they decide to move on to another position outside of Queens College, that's actually, I feel like, a success for us. If they double their salary to go work for KPMG or another area, that's what's happening. We're actually doing a really good job internally in the training, in the cross-training component, and I rotate the team members around. Yes, help desk salaries aren't that great, which are restricted by the DC-37 contracts in place. If we could find ways to do things better on the salary end, which I can't, the most I've been able to do, which has been a success, is we've been very good with doing a hybrid environment where they'll spend 2 days at home dealing with tickets and phones and then a few days on campus. That has been the biggest win I've been able to help with the help desk team and others, is a quality of life adjustment. So you say instead you have a lower salary, you won't have as high stress that you would in a corporate environment or in a different university. That has been a key philosophy that has worked significantly in IT. And it has retained key members on my server team that were looking to retire. And I was able to retain them for a few more years to train their replacement.
and you're going to have to replace all of those computers. So, I have a question. Once you zero write those, you're going to do it with computers.
The old ones?
Yeah, I don't want to take one of them. You know, you feel the why are they that good computers on the there's so many things you can do.
I do get that. It's a fair question. It is something I've been investigating on what to do. I do understand what you're asking. I will say, instead of taking those, be patient for a couple more weeks. We have something really neat that is coming, and watch for a joint email from Vice President Jennifer Jarvis and myself. I believe that this will be a lot better than for students than getting old hand-me-downs. So I will be ominous with this because we do, it is, I'm not ready to totally divulge it because, you know, Jennifer and myself are working on the communication for it, but as a student, I would say please watch EAB and other forms of communication. I really strongly believe you'll like what's about to come your way and you do not want the hand-me-downs.
Okay, thanks. And the second question is, have any openings?
The which? So, that's an easy one. With it is, you know, here today is my director of HR, you know, Ms. Lou Silva was just here. She'd be one that we, but afterwards, don't mind talking to you for a minute.
Thank you, Troy. And thank you, Luz, for both being here and addressing, there's quite a range of issues. And I appreciate the questions. I guess I appreciate Eric's question. What can we do? And I would say, I don't think I personally have a lot of impact on this going forward, but the Senate does have a Committee on Academic Technology, and Troy gets to be ex officio of that. So there are bodies where we can continue this communication rather than once a year sort of thing. There can be kind of regular feedback and so on and so forth. And I know Troy and I have talked about this before. He's more than happy to meet in that capacity as well. So I'd encourage senators to consider those committees and opportunities. Okay, so we're still on number three. We're going to get there. Don't worry. I did want to drag this out, but oh boy. Announcements, administrative reports, and memorials. Does anyone have an announcement to make? Please.
I'm Nicole Such, from a theater, dance, and fashion. And we have our dance showcase this weekend with Professor Lisa Deeks, directing the show. The tool is such a vibrant, wonderful, incredible performance. And please spread the word. Please send our students. It really is a lot of fun. And we're super proud of it. Thank you.
Can you tell us again? Did you say the date and time?
Oh, no, I did not. So it opens tonight at 7 p.m. We're going to have a performance Friday, Saturday at 7 p.m. and Sunday at 3 p.m. And it is basically a collaborative performance between our students, our choreographers, and some local artists. It's really cool. Thank you.
Thank you so much. I was going to make a joke about Megan Keeley, who is not here, I don't think. She always makes these wonderful announcements, so I'm glad we got one in her stead. Any other announcements to make, memorials? I think there's an announcement that there are bagels still left. Come down and get some and some coffee. Seeing none, we'll move on to special motions. Still no special motions, which is good news. And now we have committee reports. Is there a report from the Undergraduate Curriculum Committee?
Kenny Lord, Computer Science and the Chair of the Undergraduate Curriculum Committee.
Thank you, Ken. Are there any objections to unanimous consent for these meeting minutes? Okay, seeing none, we'll approve them. Thank you. And thanks to the UCC.
I can make a public service announcement. We have a vacancy on the UCC for a faculty member in the Arts and Humanities Division. We would like to try to get that seat filled. So if anybody here is from Arts and Humanities or knows somebody that might like to be on the committee, please see the Senate website to apply for committee members. Thank you.
Thank you, Ken. And maybe to help aid your efforts to fill the seat, you might tell us when the meetings are. Do they not tend to be immediately before Senate meetings on second Thursday?
The meetings are Thursdays at 12:15, the same day that the Senate is. Usually the second Thursday.
Excellent. Thank you so much. Second Thursday. So if you're coming to the Senate already and you're in arts and humanities, consider.
Might as well.
You're limited to serving on two committees. There's other rules, but you might as well try at least. Send in the application, please. Thank you. All right, we checked that off, right? So next is there a nominating committee report from May 8th? This is mine. I will. You told me what page. Oh, thank you. That's what I got. Is this touchscreen? It's touchscreen. That's amazing. Sorry. I just learned that. Old dog, new tricks.
High tech. Wow.
Sorry, can you introduce yourself and do the honor? Thank you. And here's the nominating committee report. As always, these come a little bit later than the other Senate materials, so we'll take a moment to display these. We have a new seat, Committee on Honors and Rewards, my friend and colleague, Karen. And a renewal seat. Nope. Any objections? Okay, seeing none, we will thank the nominating committee for their service. We, and maybe, depending on how long I yap away for, 25, 30 minutes, are going to have to elect in some more members to the nominating committee. So I'll talk more about this momentarily, but we need a chair to serve for the nominating committee. That, along with the executive committee, are the two committees that this body does from the floor. Everything else goes through the nominating committee, which is why we see this list of volunteers and names every month. Okay, check this one off. Okay, so we're moving on next to old business, of which there is mercifully none. There actually is some, but it's the last meeting, so it doesn't really matter. We're just going to skip it. We need some students to serve on some committees. You can see the theme here if you're new to the Senate. And this brings us to new business, and we've amended it with three items. So first, I will ask our senator from anthropology to present the first one as I pull up the text here.
I move that we endorse the Together We Stand statement from the University of Texas. That's the unanimous consent.
I'm not going to be able to display all of this on screen at the same time. Does everyone have a copy or need a copy to look at this? Okay, so the motion duly made is that we are endorsing, is the verb, this statement by the University Faculty Senate, what UFS stands for.
Is there any objection?
Any debate? Any objections? We'll take a question here.
So, history of the drawers. Just quickly, is this something that's going to be publicized? Because my concern is that if you publish it, you could target our house. Or is it something that is just a kind of internal document that we agreed to do this?
That's a great question. I'll take that as a point of information, and I'll let Larissa gather her thoughts to respond. But I will remind everyone, these are pursuant to New York state laws, open meetings. So this is all being published live as we're going right now. So if we do vote to endorse this, it would not be necessarily confidential or behind the scenes kinds of thing. There might be different appetite for persons or bodies at the college to publicize this more widely, but it would simply be a motion here that we endorse it, that itself would be a matter of public record, yes. I don't think there's an intent to make this a sort of like a rallying cry or the next step is to do X, Y, or Z, but I take your point. I think your question might be, does this expose us to some kind of liability? Sorry, Larissa.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I would just say I don't know exactly what see, but we are one of the past that have not endorsed this statement or made a statement about it, which is exciting. And there have been things that are
any objections?
Thank you. So I won't take that as an objection, but just a question. Are there any objections to endorsing the UFS statement? Okay, seeing none, it is approved unanimously. Thank you. Okay, we'll move on to the next slide. Sorry, gotta cue this up for you. Move on to our next item of business on our amended agenda, new business item B, the resolution in support of mutual defense of academic freedom, institutional autonomy, and shared governance.
So, same thing, this time instead of endorsing someone else's statement, I'm asking for us to adopt this item of resolution. Resolution in support of mutual defense of academic freedom, institutional autonomy, and shared governance. A one-page statement. This was drafted by several of the Queen's College senators at the University of
So again, there are copies, I can't put it all on screen at the same time, there are copies up front if you need to look at it again. I've scrolled down to the meat and potatoes, which is always, you want to look for the be it resolved and check out again the verbs that we're using here. So I'm going to take this as a motion for...
Move
that you adopt it for unanimous consent, and you'll note that, again, just go nice and slow and clear. The three resolutions here that we're affirming commitment to supporting a mutual defense compact, that we are calling on other CUNY colleges to do similarly, and that we are asking this resolution be shared, disseminated more broadly with the Queen's College community. And I'm going to guess we might have the same question, what is the impact of this, how widely spread? And I think the answer would be more or less what Larissa gave earlier, that there are, I think by last count, seven or eight other CUNYs that have already passed resolutions that are essentially the same as this. And as one of the senior colleges, people are wondering if Queens would also take this up. So I'll pause here and see if there's any objections. Okay, seeing none, we have approved this. Thank you. Appreciate it. Is that this one here? Aw. Secret motion time.
Uh-oh.
I would be remiss not to run this by the subject of this motion, our parliamentarian, colleague, and friend Dave Fields. I would like to make a motion to thank Dave Fields. Whereas Dave Fields truly embodies the Queen's College motto, Discimus ut serviamus, we learn so that we may serve. And whereas the Academic Senate has a deep and long-standing appreciation for his continued service as parliamentarian, I couldn't list all the job titles he's had, this would go on forever, be it resolved that the Academic Senate recognizes and thanks Dave for his many contributions to our college. And further be it resolved that we recommend he raise his wages to the princely sum of $2 per annum. I ask unanimous consent. Are there any objections? Seeing none, I've consider this approved, and I've taken the liberty of procuring our first payment. Thank you. Do not spend this all in one place.
This is double what I get at the law school, so thank you very much.
If the provost is here, she's going to make you fill out one of those multiple position reporting forms or something. So be careful what you say. Incredible. Thank you all. Here comes the waterworks and the off-the-cuff things. Let me make sure I got all this business taken care of. We did this. Okay. Good night, farewell, auf Wiedersehen, goodbye. Adieu, adieu. To you and you and you. it has been a great pleasure, an honor to serve as your chair the last 4 years. I want to thank you all very much for the opportunity. It's been very meaningful. I was reflecting on this and I was thinking, man, I'm so much better at it now than I was, I think so, years ago, and I wish I'd have known all these things earlier. Then I was thinking of our students. It's, you know, you get to be chair for 4 years, and so it's like, well, I can't really give myself a hard time for not knowing things I didn't know, and maybe like an undergrad degree. It takes about 4 years to kind of figure out where things are. So I wanted to thank all of you for letting me be chair. We thanked Dave already. I also want to make sure I thank Kat for dealing with all my nonsense, for keeping all the emails in order and the files straight and organized. She won't say this out loud, but if you get her on a hiring committee or something, she'll be the person to tell you I'm not very administratively minded in the way that CUNY often likes, so she takes care of all those details. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And last, I wanted to thank all of you. Thank each of you who showed up to these meetings to help us get quorum, who read the minutes ahead of time about curriculum, noticed questions, who served on committees, who participated in debate, discussion. I would say that your commitment to the Senate is much more important and significant than, you know, anyone standing on this side, that the lifeblood is that kind of work. It's not always glamorous. Is it ever glamorous? It's not always thanked, but I want to thank each of you for your service and for helping make my job easier and make the college a better place. I think that's all I got. So with that, I'll make my final motion to adjourn and I'll send you off. Although some of you will stay around for our next meeting. Thank you. All right, I'll cue you up here.